armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
I'm a Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
I'm trying
any
to save
idea?
The pump cup. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Have any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station. The radio station you can call your own. Listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. And simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee. And I don't know much, but I know one thing. Braves have finally got a day off. Let's get caught up and see what's going on around the league.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I'm doing pretty darn good. The Braves go out and they sweep, in case you missed it. They sweep the Cincinnati Reds, all one-run games. Thanks for everyone that tuned in last night. We had a pretty good turnout again. Tones joined us for the ball game last night, so it was fun doing it with, you know, with the partner in crime. We're going to try to get him on more of those games. And Atlanta, look, Strider, I thought it was pretty funny. I read an article that talked about what happened after Strider was out there struggling. And the short of it is, without you having to know all the ins and outs of it, is this. Kranitz basically came out there and told him to get his head out of his ass. He told him to go out there, and I can't tell you the exact word for word because we're on radio, but he basically said, dropped some explicitives, and basically was basically thrown out there telling him, we're not in spring training anymore. You need to go out there. You need to be aggressive. You need to go after him. And without saying anything else, you know, grow a pair, essentially. And he buckled down, fought through it. By then, he'd already given up. The biggest thing that I see for Strider, the next thing that he's got to do in his maturation, and I'm sure he's aware of it, but he's a kid. But the biggest thing that I see with him when he goes to the next level is going to be when he comes in every game at the beginning of the game and he's dialed in. I'm not saying you got to be at playoff fever at that point, but you're dialed in and you're paying attention and you're, you know, out there taking every at bat extremely seriously and hunkering down. And when he gets to that level where he does it, because when he does it, he's hard hit. When he gets to that level where he's going in and he's focused, I guess would be the best term, on every single at bat, every single pitch, he's going to be hard to handle. He's thrown up in front of our eyes. You do see the scoreboard over my shoulder. And right before we came on air, I was like, we might have us a story finally. The Boston Red Sox are leading the Tampa Bay Rays, about to give them their first loss of the year. And then what happened? Bottom of the seventh, the Rays explode for 7 runs, and they are up on Boston now 8-3. And I'm not saying that Boston can't come back sixth inning, but considering that Tampa Bay bullpen and that Tampa Bay staff, it's highly unlikely. So they finally got to Kluber. They knocked him out. I've been watching a little bit of it as I was getting ready for the show. But looks like Tampa Bay is going to be undefeated going into the second weekend of the season. Put them at 12-0. And what a wild ride. And it's funny, if you remember, if you were here for the show on Monday, I was talking to Sarge, who's a big Red Sox fan. I was telling him, I didn't see a game that I would say that the Red Sox were necessarily favored in, but that they had to win game one because you're going to have your hands full. And we went through the litany of all the pitching matchups. I've just felt like that the Rays have the much better pitching matchups. And lo and behold, they lost that first game. I believe it was 1-0. I know it was a low-scoring one-run game. And then they've just gotten absolutely throttled the last several nights. And I mentioned it at the time, maybe it's 13-0. I got to double-check this. What are the Tampa Bay Rays? What is their actual record right now? Okay, so it would be 13-0. Okay, they're 12-0 right now. And I remember mentioning to him at the time, I said, if they sweep you, they're going to be 13-0. You're going to be 5-8. You're going to be 8 games out of the East 2 weeks into the season. That's a problem. That's a big problem. I don't think Boston ever had a chance to win the AL East as it was, but you don't want to start your season off that way. I can tell you that. And so now Boston fans are basically looking at what's realistic anyways from the jump, and that's going to be, they're going to be chasing that wild card all summer. But they're going to be behind the eight ball because at the end of today's game, and I'm just mentioning the teams that are in their division, not even counting the rest of the teams in the American League, but they're going to have 3 teams in front of them that aren't leading the division. And they will be at that point, depending on what Baltimore does, anywhere between 3 to 4 games behind all the teams in front of them. And that is a tough way to get your season started. And we all know that the Braves had a terrible start last year, and then they ended up coming on. The difference between this Red Sox team and our Braves team from last year is that Braves team was loaded, and they had the pitching. And I just don't think Boston has the pitching. Kluber is a shadow of his former self. He's a solid contributor, but at this point, he's really a number 4 in most contender rotations. Maybe a 5. On his best days, a 3. But realistically, he's a 4. Chris Sale got bombed again last night. And they're paying him a boat ton, but I guarantee you there's a lot of Red Sox fans out there that are probably in the same boat as a lot of Braves fans are with Marcell Ozuna for different reasons. But I'm sure there's a lot of Red Sox fans out there that are like, what are we paying this guy for? Should we just swallow the contract and DFA him? He's got an 11.25 ERA. To start the season, 11.25 ERA. Sale has 12 innings pitched in his 3 starts. So you're averaging going out there and giving your team with ace money in your pocket 4 innings and 5 runs. Your first 3 starts. He has struck out 19. That's the positive. But he's walked 7. He's given up 18 hits. So it's not like he's unhittable and they're just tagging him once they get on home runs. I mean, he's given up 18 hits in 12 innings. So enough with the Red Sox, but you can imagine what Red Sox fans are going through because that is, I mean, look, the Boston Red Sox are a blue blood of Major League Baseball. And simple fact of the matter is Major League Baseball is better when they're competitive. You don't have to pull for them to win, but it's better when they're competitive. I'm also a little disappointed because we have plans to go to the Boston Red Sox game in Fenway in July. And I'd like that game to be something that has some kind of a fever pitch to it. I would hope that the Red Sox just aren't totally out of it. We finally got our tickets two nights ago, so I know where we're sitting. It's over on the third base side. And looking forward to that. I've never been to Fenway. I've walked in there to take a tour. Long story short, they cut the tour short because the weather was so bad. So I've never realistically been to Fenway. I walked in inside the gates and was out of there within about 30 minutes. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'd like for, I mean, in a perfect world, it's too early to predict, but it would be great for Chris Sale to be pitching at the top of his games and the Atlanta Braves go in there and play Chris Sale in the game we go to. I may go to the second one, but we haven't figured that out. I do know that we have plans to go to the first one. So looking forward to that. Got a few friends that are going and, of course, my wife and everything. So we're looking forward to that. We've been saving and pointing everything towards that. And look forward to that here in the very near future. But, man, I don't want to go in there and be facing a Boston Red Sox team that's out of it in July. All right, as far as the Atlanta Braves go and where we're at with that, you're looking at where we are at this point in the season, and Atlanta Braves finally get a day off, a much-deserved day off, since opening day. And it was, we knew it was going to be a long run, but it, I don't know why, but it felt even longer. 13 days without a day off to start the season. Not counting the Friday that everybody took off, right? So I guess it was more of a, it was 12 days. And the bullpen needs some rest. We think we're going to get some pretty good news this weekend on Max Fried. Last night, that game, 5-4, what a great win by the Braves. Eddie Rosario hitting that home run. That was fun. That was a fun game to do. And pretty good pitching on both sides, pretty good hitting on both sides. It was just a fun game to do. And tomorrow night we'll bring the game to you, 8:10 first pitch. Pre-game show will probably come on around 7:30, 7:40, somewhere in that neighborhood. We'll get you set for that. Tomorrow's game in Kansas City, if you're wondering what Kansas City does. So right now the Braves are 9-4. Kansas City's 4-9. That's not really a shock to anybody at this point because the Atlanta Braves, not so much that the Braves are 9-4, but that the Royals are 4-9. The Royals were not supposed to be any good this year. This is a team that the Braves should go in and win the series. I never assume a sweep, not Major League Baseball. The Cincinnati Reds are not being viewed as one of the better teams in baseball, though I do think that that offense of theirs is going to wreak havoc on teams this year. And they do have some good pitchers. We dodged Nick Lodolo. He's going tonight, by the way, against the Phillies. So go Reds, right? But we're going to go into tomorrow night's game, and it's a pretty tough pitching matchup. It's Morton versus Singer. And then Saturday's game, right now, it depends on what site you go on. If you go on certain sites, they have Bryce Elder. If you go to other sites, they have to be determined, and they have Bryce Elder pitching Sunday. And the reason why that is because technically Max Fried can come off the IL Saturday morning. But they haven't officially announced it. You do feel like something's coming, though. But they could wait a few more days. And the more and more it looks like, it doesn't seem like Fried's going to have to go down on the farm and get a rehab start in like it had first been projected. So, does he face Kansas City? I think I talked about this yesterday, but does he face Kansas City to get the rust and the cobwebs out? Or do you give him a few extra days off? If you do that, his first appearance would either be at San Diego or at Houston. Or, I'm sorry, at home against Houston next Friday night or Saturday night or however. So I'm in favor that if he's healthy and he's ready to go ahead and put him out there on Saturday. Because even if he's a little rusty, I'd rather him go out there and work all the rust off against the Kansas City Royals offense. And they do have a couple of good players. We'll get into that tomorrow. But top to bottom, 1 through 9, Kansas City Royals is not an offense that scares anybody. But Brady Singer is going to be on the mound for the Royals tomorrow, and he is a very good starting pitcher. I'd say if you ask if the Braves made a trade and got Brady Singer on their roster right now today, where would he be sitting at? And this would be under the assumption that we're not losing one of our big starters. Where would Brady Singer be sitting in the Atlanta Braves rotation? I think he'd probably be the number three guy. It would be Fried, it would be Strider, and then it would be Singer. Now, he would be barely in front of Kyle Wright, because when Kyle Wright gets right, all puns intended here on Armchair Quarterback Radio, when Kyle Wright does get his act back together, and he's still working through, you know, coming back from the injury, it's neck and neck. But that's how good Brady Singer is, and you might say, well, that's our number three. So remember, Kyle Wright won 21 games last year. So he's got good stuff. All right, let's take a really quick break. I see Steven in about to enter and join us. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Steven's joining us. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball. We got the NFL mock draft, the slow burn draft, all that and more. And we'll get you caught up on what's going on in Major League Baseball when we come back here on Braves Country, Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
Been all over the world, beat them all. And it's hard to believe, isn't it? Really hard to believe that so much man could be wrapped in such a good-looking package.
Hey, sports fans. The Key has a brand new show. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country. The SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League, and the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on WQEE The Key, 99.1 FM, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
Hey, y'all, I'm Mac McGee, and you don't want to miss as we cover the entire NFL on Armchair Quarterback Radio.
12-0 Chicago Bears. If they could go all the way, they would be 19-0. The last undefeated team in pro football history, these Miami Dolphins. 72, 14-0 regular season. After the Super Bowl, they were 17-0 for a third down and six. Cooper, Moore, and Clayton. Out of the way. Into the arms of Clayton. Oh, and things going right for the Dolphins tonight. 42-yard touchdown, batted into the air at the line of scrimmage. This is vintage Monday Night Football. Final seconds ticking off. Bears will not go undefeated. What a victory for the Dolphins. And Dan Marino reigns supreme once again.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekday, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE. Welcome back. A's and Orioles, they're in a slugfest at 7-7. That game is 7-7. And Tampa Bay up 9-3, trying to go 13-0. Start the season. Joining us today is Mr. Stephen Church. Stephen, how are you, sir?
Well, the Marlins look like they have some life, so I'm doing great.
I'm sorry, do what?
Said it looks like the Marlins are showing a sign of life. So, man, I'm done. Like, I'm doing great. It was not looking good that first week of the season.
Yeah, they're hanging in there. I was glad to see them get a couple of W's, especially since, I mean, no offense to Marlins fans, but we're focused on what the Phillies and Mets are doing. And we become Phillies fans when y'all meet up. If y'all end up carrying this on and we get into September, then I'll worry about pulling for the Phillies in a Marlins Philly matchup. But right now I got to be all about pulling for the Marlins in those situations. I mean, Miami's sitting there just three games out of first, game behind the Mets, the Phillies 4.5 back, and the Nationals to me are one of the biggest surprises of the division. And not 4-9 is that great, but if you ask me what I thought they would be after 13 games, I honestly, I'd be saying 2, maybe 3 wins. And I think 4-9 is actually somewhat respectable for the Nationals.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, like, they've only got a negative 18 run differential. And I mean, it's still one of the, like, it's definitely bottom of the league, but it's pretty consistent with that, like, that next tier of teams. And like, we all figured they were going to be bottom two, if not the worst team with the A's.
And he's not going to get enough run support, but I have been impressed on what Mackenzie Gore has done so far. He's not been lights out, don't get me wrong, but he's been solid. You put him out there and you can expect about 4 to 5 solid innings, 3 runs maybe. You know, he's not blowing anybody away, but I thought maybe they got taken in that, you know, in that trade because Gore had been so spotty before he got to Washington. But he's been a pleasant surprise, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's kind of been a trend I've been seeing recently, is there's a lot of these top prospects that really bust their first couple of years when they get to the majors, that first exposure. And it's not really until you're like, they're hitting 26, 27 to where they're like, you're starting to see why they were such a high prospect. And I'm like, I'm starting to see that with Gore as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He, they've got a couple of young pieces there that if they can just kind of fine tune them, I guess would be the best word for it. But if you could get Josiah Gray and Mackenzie Gore going in the right direction, you've got some pieces to build something there.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, they've got some good prospects on that offense. I mean, CJ Abrams is still super young, but he was top 10 prospect last year. Kiebert Ruiz has been one of the best catching prospects past few years. They got Meneses. He showed a lot last year. He's doing good this year. Yeah, I mean, like, they're still a ways away, but there is something to build around in Washington.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, though, the Orioles in a 4-game series at home against Oakland, they won 2 of 3 so far. This is a game right here where the Orioles need to win.
Yep.
And I know it's early in the season, but, man, you don't want to be splitting against the A's at home when you're talking about possibly making a run at the wild card. It's not over, but the AL East is looking very, very difficult to win if you're not a Tampa Bay Ray, maybe the New York Yankees. When you get out to a 13-0 lead, I mean, you start making it where a 4 or 5 game losing streak 2 or 3 times this year is not going to be detrimental to you if you're trying to win the AL East.
And I mean, the crazy thing, I mean, like, what sucks for them is the Yankees and the Blue Jays have both started 8-4. So, I mean, it's still a relatively close division.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not like everyone in the division is doing what Boston's doing, right? So it's not like they have an 8-game lead, but even still, Toronto and New York are going to be looking up at the Rays for a hot minute, because the one thing about the Rays with that pitching, they don't go into long slumps as it is. So that's and I'm pleasantly surprised with my Twins picks so far. They've looked pretty good, 8-4. What's the biggest surprise to you in Major League Baseball outside of your Marlins?
I almost got to say it's the Diamondbacks right now sitting at 8-5. How about that? It's just, I don't know what's in the water out in Arizona, but I mean, I'm pretty sure no one would have had them leading that division or even being competitive.
No, I had them right outside the wild card. I wanted to put them as my wild card dark horse, but I already did that with a couple of teams. I was like, you can't have your entire field of nothing but dark horses, right? I thought they would be better, and it's still early, but they have gone out, and I think one of the biggest things with the Diamondbacks is it seems like that they've actually got an offense this year.
Yeah. Corbin Carroll's paying off big dividends for that team.
McCarthy, you know, you like what he's doing there, and I also feel like that they've got a couple of pitchers. Merrill Kelly is the first one that comes to mind that I don't think they get the recognition they probably deserve.
Not anywhere near. I mean, what has Kelly been like 200 innings the past 2 years with a sub 3.5 ERA? Zach Gallen is looking like an ace this year.
Gallen is very Robbie Ray-esque. Back when Robbie Ray won the Cy Young. You got Gallen. You got Kelly. They helped me win a parlay because I had I did a four-team parlay on series divisions. Oh, sorry. Series wins, win a series at the beginning of the week. And the only one that didn't hit was the Giants, but they split the first two. So last night I was able to hedge my bet and take the Dodgers on the money line.
Okay.
But I had Braves. I can't remember what the other team was. It was Braves. It was Diamondbacks. It was Giants, and there was another one. So, I mean, anyways,
the only other team that's been a big surprise for me has been the Pirates. I mean, like we know there's been lots of hype kind of sleeper hype with the Cubs. Brewers have been strong. Cardinals, of course, were expect the favorite coming in, and here's Pittsburgh at 7-5. I mean, they're scoring runs. They're competing. And they did lose O'Neill Cruz, so that is going to take a little bit of a sting out of them, but I mean, they've still been competitive after that. So, I mean, I don't know how long it'll last, but...
Right, and the thing, and you know, the other thing I like about it too, if you're a Pirates fan, that division, I don't think anybody's going to run away and hide. And you're helped by the fact that the Cardinals have come stumbling out of the gate, right?
Yep.
So the number one team that I'm worried about getting on a hot winning streak is the Cardinals, if I'm a Pirates fan, and they're 5-7 to start the year. So Pittsburgh could be competitive. I don't know if they've got the guns to hang in all year. I'm looking more at the Cubs. Milwaukee is, man, if Milwaukee isn't Tampa Bay North, I don't know who is, because you look at them and you're like, I don't know how they're doing outside of their top two starting pitchers. Nothing really wows you, but it seems like that they bring guys in.
Well, top three. And,
what's that?
I mean, I like between Woodruff, Burns and Peralta. I mean, like that's a pretty nasty top three.
Yeah. Well, Peralta though is on a bounce back year. He's, you know, going into this year, people weren't expecting a whole lot from him, but outside of that, when you look at them, their biggest problem has been just what the Tampa Bay Rays have had an issue with over the years is scoring runs. A lot of that's got to do with the fact that if you don't spend money in free agency, usually the elite bats, you're not going to have. If you have them, you don't have them for very long.
Yep.
But Milwaukee's leading that division, and that's without Contreras doing anything.
Yeah, like they're leading that division on the backs of on the back of Brian Anderson.
Yeah, exactly. Like he not just Anderson, but what was the kid? Oh, I'm
drawing. Garrett Mitchell.
Mitchell, yeah. The home run that he hit against the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to be a team that's going to hover just over 500, and they're going to have a very good chance at the wild card. But also, if the Cardinals continue to stumble like this, they're all enthralled because Jordan Walker's on this hitting streak, right?
Mm-hmm.
But getting one hit a game is not going to help you win ball games. So they've got to get their starting pitching figured out, because I think the Cubs are going to be very, very competitive. I'm assuming that Dansby Swanson's okay. I saw that he came out of the game a couple nights ago, but I never saw an update on that.
Oh, that wasn't anything with him. His wife had a pretty serious injury, and she went into surgery.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that was just him going to support his wife.
Okay. Speaking of that, folks are wondering where Doug is. Doug had emergency surgery yesterday, so he's not with us, but he is fine. He's going to be okay, but he's just really sore, so we gave him the week off. I think he'll be back next week, but I'm not 100% on that. The other thing would be, to me, you see the Mets sitting there at 7-6. I don't think that's the end of the world. The Phillies are sitting there at 4-8. They're going to a four-game series against a Reds team that I know they're 4-7, but they gave the Braves all they wanted all three of those games.
Yeah.
Lodolo is going on the mound tonight for the Reds. It's four games in Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's got a very good chance to split that series with Philadelphia, if not even better. If the Phillies come out of there, we'll say 6-10, there's going to come a point where the Philly fan is going to start freaking out.
Yeah.
And I've got their future schedule pulled up. Philly goes to Cincinnati for four, and then the White Sox for three, and then they're home against Colorado. On paper, those are three very winnable series. But when Cincinnati's coming home after being swept by Atlanta, you kind of feel, or at least I figure, you've got a team that's got some talent at the top of that lineup that's, you're kind of going into a hornet's nest, because that's the last thing you want to do is face a team that just got swept that can put runs on the board.
Yep. I mean, like, at least they don't get to face Hunter Green this series.
True, but they do have to face Lodolo. So, I mean, it's thankfully the Braves didn't have to face Lodolo, but Hunter Green, man, I'll tell you what, every time I see that kid when he's not at home, he pitches so much better on the road. I am extremely impressed by him.
I mean, he just, it just looks like he's playing, you know, catch with his dad, and he's throwing 103. I mean, that's what blows my mind.
We won the game last night, but if you asked me after the game, no one had a jersey number on, and you asked me who is the better pitcher on the mound last night, it was Green. It wasn't Strider.
Yeah.
Strider, one of the problems that Strider has, and he had it again last night, is he gets into, it's not every start, I'd say it's one out of every three starts, but he'll get out there and he runs his pitch count up to where you can't get him out of the fifth inning. And that's a problem if down the road he wants to be looked upon as one of the better pitchers in baseball, which I know he does because he's got that kind of bravado. But you can't be going four or five innings in a home start against the Cincinnati Reds and think that you're going to be looked upon as elite. That's run-of-the-mill territory right there.
Yeah.
But Hunter Green, I'm very impressed by him last night. I mean, it's like you said, it just looks like he's out there playing catch. But also, when we saw Strider exit the game because of pitch count, Green was at like 78 pitches. And yeah. I know he didn't get the win because the, you know, Rosario hit the dramatic home run, et cetera, but that wasn't him on the mound. I'm assuming Cincinnati's going to try to lock him up. But if I'm Hunter Green, I do my time in Cincinnati and then I get myself a big contract to get out of the Great American Small Park.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, you kind of feel bad for those pitchers. It's like even like Lodolo just being stuck in those extremely hitter friendly parks.
Well, years ago, until he eventually got moved, I always felt bad for Mike Hampton because he was such a good pitcher.
Yeah. Well, I haven't heard that name in years.
And he was out there in Colorado for years, and then he ended up with the Braves and I believe the Mets as well. And at the time, Mets and Braves Park was extremely hitter friendly. I mean, excuse me, pitcher friendly, but coming from Colorado, you always knew, you're like, man, this guy's got it, but he's got to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to hit the NFL mock draft. When we return, Steven is on the clock with the, is it the number 20 pick in the Seattle Seahawks. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Steven on the clock. Keep it locked in here on 99.1 FM.
Armchair Quarterback Radio, your home for the SEC.
Back third down on the 8, in trouble. Got a block behind him. Going to throw on a run, complete to the 25, to the 30. Lindsey Scott, 35, 40, run. Lindsey, 25, 20, 50, 10, 5. Lindsey Scott, Lindsey Scott, Lindsey Scott.
SEC, SEC. Armchair.
Dixie Handle Company, 5 generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
Coach, how do you feel about your past season?
Well, it's been a very rewarding season for us. It's one that I would not have been able to lay my job on the line saying we were going to win 9 ball games. I couldn't have done it before the year. And it's been we were hoping definitely to have a winning season, you know, for the first time in a long time. And it's just been an excellent season as far as the way things turned out are concerned.
Well, can you say what, how you brought a losing Florida State team around to be a winning one?
No, I can't. Number one, we've got some real fine assistant coaches that I think know what they're doing, and they work very hard at football, spend a lot of time on it. And even more important than that is the attitude of our players who knew what they wanted to accomplish and had confidence that they could do it and were willing to work.
Armchair.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Hey, Braves fans, I'm Mac McGee with Braves Country. We'll be right here on the Key all year long giving you Braves Country Baseball, pitch by pitch, inning by inning of your Atlanta Braves. Make sure to catch Braves Country right here on the Key. We go live 3 to 5. And we'll keep you up to date on the upcoming schedule for Braves Country. That's Braves Country HD and Braves Country Baseball right here on the Key. Welcome back. 2023 slow burn draft. I think we've done a much better job this year, Steven, slowly doing the draft as opposed to years past. We were doing 5, 6, 7 picks a show. And by the time we got to this part, I mean, we'd be sitting in the fourth round.
Yeah.
And you start really understanding that you don't understand who needs to be drafted when you start getting the fourth and fifth round of these mock drafts. It sounds like a great idea at the time. Oh, man, I know football. And then you get in there and you go, I don't know. Is there a lineman in the Southeastern Conference that I can draft? Is that guy available? Is there a wide receiver in the Pac-12? I'll take that guy.
Hey, it's worked out before. I remember one time Waller was just like, hey, Josh Palmer went to Tennessee. Pick him.
So So we are, it's official. We are 2 weeks away from the draft. Let me ask you something, because I heard someone bring this up the other morning on a different show. And I don't know if I'm on the fence. So convince me one way or the other. Does this draft have buzz like other drafts, or are you just kind of like, meh? Now, not you personally, because I know you're a Dolphins fan and they got their pick taken away, but I'm talking about just as a general NFL fan. Does this draft have the buzz for you, or was I listening to a couple of homers who because their teams draft way deep in the draft, that they weren't hyped up for it?
I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be excited about this draft. You've got, you know, like at least just at the top, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, two of the better quarterback prospects we've seen in recent years. There are, three to four teams at least in that top 10 looking for a quarterback. There's been trade talk galore about teams in that top five trying to move up, move down. That's like the NFL couldn't ask for more than that. Like, there's so much intrigue. There's like, outside of those reports that Bryce Young's going to Carolina number one, this is about as wide open as a draft as I can remember.
Yeah. Did you see the rumor? Was it Mel Kiper? It was one of the big guys that he predicted in his newest mock draft that Tennessee trades up to the third pick and grabs AR-15 out of Florida.
I did not see that, but
I don't know what to make of that. I don't like, I'm like, okay, do I get excited or do I cringe? Go, uh-oh. Cause he had flashes in college where you could convince me that he could be a top pick. But then there were other times when a few times, like, you know, just the Florida State game specifically, there were times where he was on the field that I didn't feel like Florida State could stop him, and FSU had a decent defense this year. But then there were other times where he was literally skipping the ball across the over to the sidelines, nowhere near his receiver. I don't know what to make of it.
I mean, he's definitely a talented football player. A lot, like, especially at the college level, I think what allowed him to succeed was how good he was with the ball in his hands, and just the sheer threat of what he could do running the ball opened up some passing lanes, and that it allowed him to still complete plays despite his limitations as a passer. I really think there's definitely a good chance for him to make it at the next level. He just really has to fall into the right situation where he can really learn the quarterback position. Because, I mean, his flaws as a passer were – you don't see those flaws from any of the other top prospects.
That's what – but there's also a – there's another thing that I think of too. I think he's the most talented of all the quarterbacks in the draft. Because when you just look at his pure physicality, it's pretty impressive, right? So the other thing I think of, and this isn't just if you're a Titans GM, if you're the GM and you've got a pick up at the top, are you going to be kicking yourself in the rear because you didn't draft him? Because he doesn't give me the vibe like Trey Lance did. I never thought Trey Lance was going to live up to what the hype was on him. Because he didn't have hardly any experience playing the game of football in college. And I felt like that's sometimes an important thing is, I don't care how talented you are as an athlete, have you played the sport?
Yeah, I will agree he has the highest ceiling, but also has the lowest floor out of, say, Stroud, Young, and Will Levis.
So you think he's got, okay, because for whatever reason, this is just a gut feeling with me, Will Levis to me feels like he has the lowest floor because he's not athletic. That I'm concerned that if he's not all what he lived up, and look, he really wasn't that good in a lot of games that he should have been. He should have been torching the Tennessee Volunteer defense. He didn't. There was a couple other games where I didn't feel like he showed up. I felt like he padded a lot of his stats the year before against some pretty bad defenses on his schedule. If you were picking, so the number four pick is what, the Colts, right?
Yeah.
And you had the pick, and you had the Colts pick. Would you go Levis or would you go AR-15?
I don't know. See, I mean, it's I wouldn't even want to go one of them with that number four pick. I would try to go someone like a Jalen Carter. I'm like, that would be my preferred spot.
But they still have a quarterback.
See, that, I like for me, after CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, it's a big drop off. So it's I guess I would have to go Richardson just because of how, like, just because of that ceiling, but it just it feels like Malik Willis all over again.
Oh, I hope it's not that bad.
Oh no, I don't either. I mean, I think Richardson is better as a playmaker, but we saw how raw Willis was as a quarterback and how that hindered what Tennessee could do on offense.
But then again, we also saw him fall to the third round too.
Yeah.
You know, the other guy that I'm interested in, see where he ends up going. I think it was Todd McShay did a mock draft, and he's got like six quarterbacks going in the first round, which I think is just insane. But where does Hendon Hooker end up in all this? Because before the injury, you could have made the argument that he would have been the second or third quarterback off the board.
I'm seeing a lot of connection to Baltimore with him as kind of like an insurance plan for Lamar.
I don't even understand what's going on with Lamar Jackson, because he comes out and he tells all the fans, thanks, it's been real kind of thing, his little Instagram story or whatever, saying all his goodbyes, and then they sign OBJ, and the next thing you know, you see the two of them, they're hanging out, they're besties, and they're all over social media talking about, we're going to wreck the league. And I'm like, I thought you weren't going to play for him. I thought you were done. And yeah. OBJ, and signing an old wide receiver to a 1-year deal is not the move that's going to put the Ravens over the top anyways.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing makes zero sense to me. All right, let's go ahead and get to the mock draft. You are on the clock with the Seattle Seahawks real quick. Before we hit this, I'll go over the last five picks. I don't want to go through the whole thing. We're getting too deep into the draft to be able to go into the whole thing. But the last five picks of the draft, you had the Commanders drafting Deontay Banks, cornerback from Maryland. It is in the chat if you're watching on Braves Country HD. All the picks are in the chat. Then we had the Steelers taking Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State. Breesy, defensive lineman from Clemson, goes to the Lions. And then the Bucks, Jones, offensive tackle from Ohio State. So I'm very curious where you're going to go with this pick, because the Seattle Seahawks could go a million different ways. Where are you going with the number 20 overall pick in this year's draft?
I mean, it's pretty easy for me. Defensive line is one, like, actually, really both lines, probably the deepest position group like of this draft. And I mean, nobody can turn down some help, like, you know, pass rushers help on the offensive line. So Brian Breesy would have been the ideal pick for the Seahawks here, but I'm gonna stay on that side of the ball. I'm gonna go Lucas Van Ness, edge rusher out of Iowa. He never really started there, but he is just an athletic freak of nature. He is the ideal prototypical pass rusher, and he has shown like immense ability, like just rushing from the outside. I think he's a great piece for that Seattle defense. He can really help them stay competitive in that division.
All right. So Seattle goes there. Have you seen some of these rumors as well as Seattle drafting a quarterback, which makes zero sense to me because they just extended their quarterback to what is it, a 3-year deal?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to draft a quarterback, it's got to be like a fourth, fifth round guy. I mean, you definitely draft a quarterback every year, but you're not going out there and drafting, you know, like one of those top three picks with like with the team that they have.
I agree. Like, I don't think to do that, what you're saying is that they're kind of punting on the idea of trying to win this year. And I don't think that's where they're at. Do you?
No, not at all.
So, yeah, I really do like that pick, the Van Ness out of Iowa. And we'll put those in the chat here in a second as the mock draft rolls on. So that's going to take us to the number 21 pick, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the pick is in. And make sure I've got the spelling right because I'm going to put them in the chat. I thought he might fall this far, but I wasn't 100% until we got to about midway through the draft because there were a couple of positions that I was a little concerned with that, you know, the thing about, give you an idea of where I'm going with this. The biggest story that has come out of the Chargers camp all offseason is that Austin Ekeler wants out, right? And that he's ticked off because he's not getting the money that he wants, et cetera, et cetera. And so to me, there's only one running back that's worth a number one pick in this year's draft, and I'm going Bijan Robinson out of Texas to the LA Chargers.
And the moment you said Austin Ekeler, I'm like, oh, Bijan's going off the board. Nice.
I just think it makes so much sense. And if you don't grab him then, with Baltimore being right behind you, Baltimore will draft a running back. They don't even think they need a quarterback. So Baltimore will just go out there and draft another running back and run the Wildcat.
Yeah.
So there you have that. You got Seattle. And they went with Lucas Van Ness of Iowa. And Bijan Robinson of Texas going to the LA Chargers. As we go to wind down here, hour number one, Joey is on the way. By the way, that the A's Baltimore game is still tied. We're heading to the there's one out in the ninth. And I believe it's official. I think the Rays are officially 13-0. They are. They won 9-3. They go to Toronto this weekend. Toronto's got to beat them, right? One game. Come on.
Oh, especially with the like them unveiling the all the updates at the Rogers Center. Man, like it's been wild there this week. Like you got to imagine with the Rays coming into town, that is going to be a crazy atmosphere. Like if the Rays go in there and they sweep Toronto, I'm going and putting all my money on them to win the World Series.
I know they faced Manoa, and that was the game on Sunday that I felt like that they had the best chance to lose in the near future. Now, look, we all know Major League Baseball. Any pitcher can go out there and beat any team any day of the week. But when I looked at the matchup Sunday, Alek Manoah is going to be on the hill. He's pitching pretty darn well. And it's like you said, the atmosphere that they have there, they've got to get at least one win.
I'm betting them money line every single day, like all those games.
See, this is how I get in trouble. So I listen to you, and next thing you know, the Rays are going to be 20-0. And what is your walk-off, sir?
Walk off. I mean, from like I got a good slate of games tonight. One game is looking like free money to me. Reds are minus 127 favorites over the Phillies. Nick Lodolo starting against Bailey Falter for the Phillies. I think the Reds are going to come out on top there.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week, and we'll be a week away from the NFL draft. Cannot wait for that. Just a couple of weeks away. Keep it locked in here on the key. We'll be back in a flash. Joey is on the way. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
good afternoon. And this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. Major League Baseball has a little bit of a light slate here on Thursday. A couple of day games. The Red Sox and Rays are back at it. Springs versus Kluber. That game's the 1:10 first pitch. Just before that at 1:05, the Orioles host the A's. Cole Irvin to the mound for Baltimore. The night slate has the Phillies at the Reds at 6:40. Falter versus Nick Lodolo. 7:05, Twins at Yankees. Joe Ryan on the hill for Minnesota. 7:07, the Tigers and Blue Jays back at it again. Turnbull versus Bassett. 7:45, first pitch in St. Louis. Cardinals will face the Pirates in a role reversal. St. Louis comes in with a losing record. Pittsburgh with a winning record. Velasquez versus Jordan Montgomery. And at 9:40, the Brewers stay out on the West Coast to take on the Padres. Lauer up against Martinez. Last big slate on the ice as the regular season winds down tomorrow with only a couple of games. Tonight, the puck starts dropping at 7 Eastern. All games can be seen on the Plus. Early action has Bruins at Canadiens, Devils at the Capitals, Penguins at the Blue Jackets, and Maple Leafs at the Rangers. Senators travel to the Sabres, the Hurricanes battle the Panthers, and the Red Wings are in Tampa to face the Lightning. 8 o'clock Eastern, the Wild are at the Predators, the Blues at the Stars. At 8:30, Philadelphia Flyers at the Chicago Blackhawks. While at 9 in Edmonton, it's the Oilers versus Sharks. 10 Eastern, the Kings are at the Ducks, and the Canucks are at the Coyotes. The late drop, 10:30 Eastern, the Vegas Golden Knights head-to-head versus the Kraken. Major League Baseball umpire Larry Vanover remained hospitalized Thursday after being hit in the head with a relay throw during Wednesday's game between the New York Yankees and the Cleveland Guardians. Vanover was struck on the left side of his head in the fifth inning by a throw from Guardian All-Star Andrés Giménez. Vanover, 67 years old, was standing between second and the pitching mound when he got hit. Vanover was taken to the Cleveland Clinic where he was checked for a concussion and other medical issues. He was kept in the hospital overnight for observation, and there was no immediate word on when he'll be released. The Washington Commanders owners Dan and Tanya Snyder are near a deal to sell the NFL franchise. A group led by Josh Harris, co-owner of the Philadelphia 76ers and NHL New Jersey Devils, continues to be optimistic that it will get the team. The Canadian billionaire Steve Apostolos and his family are still in the mix. No deal has been signed, and any deal has to be submitted and approved by league owners. The first quarterback-specific helmet designed to help reduce concussions has been approved for use by the NFL and the NFLPA. The helmet manufacturer, Visus, says it reduces the severity of helmet-to-ground impacts, which league data says accounts for approximately over half of quarterback concussions. The helmet performs 7% better than most other popular helmets worn by quarterbacks last season. The league said in a memo sent to teams on Thursday, quote, "The unique thing is that it has a deformal outer shell, which means when you take impact in any location on that helmet, it will deform or basically dent in the location of the absorbed impact. What that means for us, we're looking to optimize it so that different types, different impacts, will be able to change unique locations to try to optimize the impact mitigation in one area," unquote. It's unknown how many quarterbacks will switch to the new quarterback-specific helmet. The league and the quarterback players union share info from the helmet studies with teams so players can make informed decisions on the choice. The only other position specific helmet already approved by the same company, Visus, for offensive and defensive linemen. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia. Simulcasting on YouTube.com @Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
Or you think you're tough picking on an old man? Maybe you'd like to try taking on somebody your own age.
You got any kids?
Why any fool could see he made that first down when he dived? If Howard Cosell came in now, he'd never get out alive. Cause he's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American.
While we were at break, Adley Rutschman of the Baltimore Orioles hit a walk-off home run to dead center, 405 over the wall to win the game for the Orioles. I talked about how they needed to get that dub. They got that dub. How you doing, Joey?
Man, that's awesome to see that young guy just crushing it. I'm doing great. Stayed up pretty late last night. Couldn't, you know, it's just the play-in, but the Bulls were down 19 at one point. I thought they were dead in the water. Season was over.
And were they really down by 19?
Yes, sir. In the third quarter, we were down 19 points. I literally changed the channel for a minute.
Who was it? One of the guys, their daughter was screaming that was while they were trying to hit the free throws?
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan's daughter, DeMar is beloved in Toronto, but she was sitting first row behind the hoop, and she was just screaming at the top of her lungs. The Raptors went 18 of 36 from the line. That was the second worst free throw percentage with that many free throws for the entire season.
I had it on, but obviously we were doing the broadcast of the Braves-Reds game, so it was all sitting off to the side, so it wasn't even like right in my view. I had to keep looking at it during breaks because I didn't want to. I don't like getting distracted when I'm doing a game, so I make sure the only thing I can actually see during the game is the game I'm doing, and then I'll have a couple of other ball games on, but I've got to turn my head, right? And every time I looked over, they were struggling until right there in the fourth quarter. Tones had mentioned it during the broadcast that they were leading by three, but I didn't know it had gotten to 19. I think I saw like 11 or something like that heading to the fourth. I did not know it got to 19. Wow, that's something.
Yeah, and it was pretty much the Zach LaVine show. In the first half, he really struggled. He ended up with 37 points, and every time he went to the rack, something happened. So he's a little bit up and down type of player, still a good player, but not a great one. But it was a fun win, and now we play tomorrow at Miami at 7 o'clock on TNT.
For the right to get your head beat in by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yay! You gotta love it.
Man, I was looking at last night when I kind of gotten turned around, and it was after the game. I was thinking, okay, so the Bulls are in. Who do they play? And I was like, wait a minute, they got to play Miami, so they're not in yet. And I was like, then they got to play the Bucks if they win. I was like, oh, that's a wrap.
We played Milwaukee last year, and we lost in five, and it was a very.
I remember there were blowouts, weren't they?
Yeah, I went to a home game in Chicago, and they lost by 36.
That's what I remember. It was something involving the show. You either missed the show, or you were doing the show from a bathroom, or there was something going on. And I remember going to a game, and they just got absolutely pummeled.
Yeah, I was doing it remote because I wanted to be closer to the stadium, just because I was so excited. Well, I shouldn't have shown up so early.
Hawks will play the Celtics in the first round on Saturday. I hate the fact they're playing each other because I have always kind of pulled for the Hawks. I just don't pull for them over the Celtics, not to mention the fact I don't think the Hawks have a chance to go very deep in the playoffs. It would be a different, if it was a different situation, if the Hawks were the 2 seed and the Celtics were the 7 seed, I could see me changing my fandom to the Hawks for a season.
But I just think it's a collision course in the NBA Eastern Conference. It's going to be Celtics and Bucks for the right to go on and play the Suns.
Yeah, like Charles Barkley even said on his own network, he goes, you can skip the first round of the Eastern Conference because outside of Milwaukee, Boston, and Philadelphia, there ain't much happening near the bottom of those Eastern standings.
No, there's only one Eastern Conference round that I
think. Knicks versus Cleveland, I think.
Knicks versus Cleveland would be the one that I would like to watch. But I'm not watching the first game. If it gets to, like, game four and the series tied, mm-hmm. you can talk me into game five. I'll put the Celtics on in the first round just because I've grown up watching them my entire life, but I'm not going to be locked into it. I'm going to be locked into what's going on in Major League Baseball. It'll just be – but that's the only series that I'll even pay attention to in the first round. I'll catch the highlights, but I'm not locking in. And the only other one that I can see over in the West that would be interesting – is I would like to see what the Clippers can do against the Suns. I don't really feel like other than that, we're going to get a huge upset.
The only other, I agree with you completely on Clippers Suns just because of the star power in that game. And both teams are healthy, obviously, in the late addition of Westbrook. The only other series, even though I'm not a LeBron fan, but Lakers versus Grizzlies, I am intrigued by because the Lakers roster isn't that bad on paper. They made a trade with the Timberwolves late in the year that, to me, helped them out gain more depth in the lineup. And LeBron James is 38. He's not getting any younger. So I'm going to keep an eye on that one. I think it could get to six or seven games. I still think Memphis wins, but I won't be surprised if that goes the distance.
From what I saw the other night.
Yeah, true.
I think the Lakers look old. I think LeBron looks really old. And yeah, they beat Minnesota, but my God, Minnesota's missing two of their guys.
And they barely got it.
And they nearly beat them anyways. I just think the Grizzlies are going to thump them. I think the Lakers are going to be out in about five games. And the Nuggets are going to play some bum, and they'll beat them, but then the Nuggets will probably get tossed in the next round. Maybe one other series that could have my interest would be that Warriors-Kings series. You know, you kind of figure the Warriors have the upper hand. They're the champion. They're, you know, to be the man, you got to beat the man, all that stuff. But it would be fun to see the Kings take out the Warriors.
Yeah, it's fresh blood in that series. And, you know, obviously with the in-state stuff, you should get some packed houses with some wild crowds. So I'm intrigued by that as Warriors are the lower seed. A lot of people probably would think if they haven't watched much this year that they were the higher seed and the Kings were the low seed. Not the case. Sabonis was a huge move for them last year, and it's been paying off big dividends.
That opening game, by the way, and it's in Sacramento. It's a pick 'em.
Ooh.
Pick 'em. Ain't that something? I haven't looked at the. I guess maybe I should pull that up right now. That would be an interesting thing to see is what are the series odds right now in the NBA going in? See which ones they actually have. I'd be willing to bet that the without seeing it yet, I bet you. Pretty good chance that the Warriors are a decided favorite in that series. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, as fun as the story has been for the Kings, I just think that the Warriors, obviously, with their playoff pedigree and them getting healthy at the right time, I just don't see how the Kings really – will be able to sustain a seven-game series. They might win the first one in Sacramento. I'm not saying they can't do anything like that, but I think they'll probably lose a series in six games.
Okay, here we go. I found the NBA series props. I'm not going to put it on the screen because the site I use, it's not very – it doesn't look good on the screen. I've tried it before. It's very – it's almost like I've opened up somebody's Word pad from late 90s and open it up on the screen. Okay. 76ers, by the way, minus 900 against the Nets.
Oh, my goodness.
Celtics minus 1,300 on the Hawks. The Knicks and Cavs series. Here's an interesting one. Minus 200 Cavs, plus 170 the Knicks.
Who do you like there?
I like the Knicks. They've been playing pretty well, but what concerns me is they have a couple of injuries, and you don't know who's going to be available. That's the only thing that concerns me. But they've almost been playing better without Randall. They play more upbeat. So I don't. It's going to be such a good series, I think.
I agree.
I wish I could find a line that says, you know, betting, you know, how many games will it go, right? Because I think that series goes 6 or 7 easy.
Yeah, and I'm just going to slightly lean Knicks with you as well. I think, you know, the Knicks team, led by Thibodeau, the defense should be better. And Brunson, man, that was huge. So I like what the Cavs have done, but they have a lot of fresh blood in the playoffs. I think the Knicks will get it in 7.
I got your answer. The Warriors are a minus 270.
Wow.
They don't even have the home court advantage. That tells you right there, the Kings are getting zero respect, plus 230. I'll tell you something else not getting any respect. Now this one intrigues me. The Grizzlies are only a minus 140 against the Lakers. It's the 2 versus the 7 seed. The Memphis has the home court advantage. That one intrigues me.
You know, I think part of that, and I know it sounds probably a little bit stupid, but a lot of people are down on this Memphis roster. They don't like what they've been through this year. And the Lakers with LeBron, everyone always kind of kisses up to them. So maybe that.
It looks so old, man. Like in that game the other night, they didn't put him in the fourth quarter in a game that they needed to win to get into the playoffs. I get it. They could have lost it and still played, what, Friday night or whatever. But they left him out. If there was like 6-7 minutes left in the fourth quarter before they brought him back in, he was sitting over there just watching. And then when he came in, he was old man in it. He was chucking it. He threw a wild pass into AD. Then if AD was 19 feet tall, there's no way that pass gets completed.
I do remember that one.
And I'm sitting there going, and a few times when LeBron back in his day would put his shoulder down and go to the hoop, he's stopping and just flipping. And I'm not talking about a good shot. He's just flipping a shot up there. I think he's done.
He wants to make it to play with his kid, as we all know, but that would take, what, 3 more seasons or 2? It's something like that.
I think it's 2 more.
Yeah, he'd be 40
plus. I'm not saying he can't play in the NBA.
But you mean statistically it would be a drop-off.
He's not the guy anymore.
Right, correct.
I think he's done, man. He's 38, and it's an old 38. He's got a lot of wear and tear on that body.
He needs to get on the Tom Brady plan. He might need. Maybe it's too late to switch over.
That Grizzly price really intrigues me. Minus 140. It's like you said, they're just sucking up to the Lakers and LeBron. But
right,
Suns are a minus 470.
See, and honestly, I would like to add one thing about that. I'm not going to say I'm high on the Clippers to go to the championship, but If you're like any underdog and you want some good odds, I would be all over the Clippers. I just think they could potentially make a couple of series wins. I'm not saying they will beat the Suns, but I like that money odds right there.
Here's a crazy bet. You want to hear a crazy bet?
Hit me.
If you parlay the Clippers and Knicks right now, $100 to win $1,169. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Clippers and Knicks.
You're not asking for, you're not asking for the world with that. And with those odds, it seems like it.
And if you add the Grizzlies in there, double that money. 100 to win 2,075.
Maybe Max going to lay some cheddar.
That to me is very, very intriguing. Definitely the Grizzlies and Knicks. I think the Clippers is more of like a shot in the dark. If they had Paul George, I'd give him a much better chance. But the Clippers, I get it, KD's there, and it's different now, but the Clippers have traditionally given the Suns all kinds of hell.
Yeah, and if you're just looking at paper on, you know, rosters of who's on them, you see the names. You got Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook. I mean, the star power is there. Let's see if they can have it all gel at the same time against the tough Suns.
Absolutely. All right, it's 4:20. Smoke them if you got them. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. When we come back, Joey's on the clock. We'll be back in a
flash. Yes!
Is that your thing? You come into a bar, you read some obscure passage, and then pretend you pawn it off as your own idea just to impress some girls, embarrass my friend? See, the sad thing about a guy like you is in 50 years, you're going to start doing some thinking on your own, and you're going to come up with the fact that there are two certainties in life. One, don't do that. And two, you dropped 150 grand on an education you could have got for $1.50 in late charges at the public library.
Hey, Braves fans, the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel are bringing you Braves Baseball all season long. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and I'll be bringing you Braves Baseball play-by-play for the Braves fans out there. Pulling no punches, calling it how I see it for all of Braves Country. So pull up an armchair and join us for Braves Country Baseball, first pitch to last pitch, all season long, right here on the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel.
We live in a world now that welcomes and nurtures the screwball in all of us. Hey, it's a new decade, people. Time to get a little nutty. Treat yourself to Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a smooth flavor that combines two of America's favorites, peanut butter and American whiskey. So no more social awkwardness. Time to embrace who you truly are. Get out there and make friends. And be sure it starts with Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's available nearly everywhere. Learn more at screwballwhiskey.com. Infinium Spirits. Please enjoy responsibly.
The Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
Super Bowl IV, Lenny Dawson's Chiefs crushed the Minnesota Vikings in what was the AFL's final game. As the decade ended, the two leagues merged, but the AFL's place in history was secure.
The biggest thing in the 1960s is the impact of the American Football League. The American Football League opened up the game. You know, they threw the ball all over the place. You know, they brought on all these gimmicks. And the most significant thing was beyond the American Football League, but part of it was the beginning of the Super Bowl.
Football's most prestigious game and America's greatest sporting spectacle truly owes a small debt of gratitude to the Renegade League that was a sensation in the 60s. The Renegade League, known as the AFL.
Armchair.
We were fired exactly the same day. Man stood across from me and he said to Clint, "You talk too slow and you've got this chip on your tooth, which you refuse to get fixed, and your Adam's apple sticks out. I mean, it sticks way out here. You know, it's ridiculous. It's terrible." So I said, "You know, I'm sorry, we have to let you go." And I said, "Excuse me, sir, well, what is it that I do bad?" He said, You can't act." So Adam's apple.
Back.
Joe, I got this app. Counts down.
Well, the app box in general account displays all kinds of things, news, scores, da-da-da-da-da-da. But you add apps to it, and it displays everything that you add. And one of the things that it displays is a countdown clock. And the countdown clock tells you, you know, it's X amount of days until this, X amount of days till that, right?
Correct.
And I just put in the information of where we are going to Boston to catch Braves Red Sox. And it is starting tomorrow, so it'll be officially 100 days until we make that trip.
They'll be here before you know it.
Oh, yeah. It's going to fly by.
That's going to be awesome, though. Obviously, you don't know who's going to pitch yet, but that just in Fenway with a good Braves team, that's going to be one heck of an outing for you.
Yeah, that's going to be a heck of an out because – I talked about it in the first hour, but my only concern is, like, what if the Red Sox stink? And I really want to see, like, two teams going at it. In a perfect world, Chris Sale will pitch for the Red Sox. Because my wife is friends with his sister. But it's way too far in advance to know.
Hey, if they stink, you'll probably get a better ticket price and maybe get some better seats.
If he stinks bad enough, he may be in the Atlanta bullpen. He's been bad. Adam Schefter's reporting, by the way, that the Washington football team is being sold for $6.05 billion. And it's the same guy that owns the 76ers and one of the hockey teams, but it's not the Flyers. Is it the Devils? Can't remember. I know he owns the 76ers, and he owns a hockey team along with other folks. And there was a guy, there was a Canadian businessman that was wanting to buy him. But I guess this guy came in with the right asking price. And the other thing would be, I mean, obviously they're going to have to get the approved votes by the league. But other than that, it looks like it's a done deal.
Good riddance, Dan Snyder.
I don't see anybody voting against that, mainly because if you own a team in the National Football League, don't you want a team to sell for $6 billion? So when you go to sell your team, you're like, well, we know what the floor is, what you got.
I was going to say, you know what the basement seller price is now.
Because Denver sold, is it last year or the year before? And it was $4.5 billion. And everyone thought that was extraordinary.
Yeah, and it's like, I liked everything Denver does better than Washington.
Can you imagine when Jerry Jones finally kicks and they sell that team?
Maybe $12 billion? I don't know. It's going to be
crazy. I mean, that's if they sell it tomorrow. There's no telling what the Dallas Cowboys will be worth. Let's say he lives another 10, 15 years, right? And though he won't be as involved at that point, let's say that happens. So let's say it's 20 years from now that the Dallas Cowboys get sold. That's going to be a pretty penny.
I want to know who buys that one. Maybe Jeff Bezos.
Whoever buys the Dallas Cowboys 20 years from now has not invented what they're about to invent that's going to be able to afford it.
True.
Josh Harris, that's his name. I knew it was something. I knew when I first saw it, I was like, that's not that Josh Harris played second base for the Pirates.
Oh, man, do I remember him well.
He's out there living his best life, man. You must have really invested.
trying to read the tea leaves. Anyways, we move on. So, speaking of the National Football League, the Commanders have been sold. You know, the biggest thing I want to see is that are they going to keep that dopey name?
What would it be then? Three changes in like four seasons? Wow.
If I bought it, I would go back to Washington Football Team. If I bought it yesterday, I would go back to Washington Football Team. Because they're not going to let you put it back to Redskins. That thing's gone. And we can have a long debate on whether or not that was right or that was not right. But the thing is, they're not going to let you change it back to Redskins.
Right.
But I would have kept it a Washington Football Team because I thought it made them unique.
I liked it.
Yeah, at first I thought it was dopey. And then after like a couple of months, I was like, you know, this thing's kind of wearing on me. And then they changed it to Commanders. Like the dumbest possible name you could come up with for a team that's in Washington, D.C., that someone can shorten the name to Commies. I mean, as soon as they named them the Commanders, Twitter was calling them the Commies like within 30 seconds.
The Commander Commies led by Carson Wentz.
Yeah, the Washington, D.C. Commies. Did no one think this out before they started? Do you not spitball anymore? Were they doing all this Zoom via Zoom so no one was paying attention?
Who got the shortest straw?
All right. Joey.
Woo-hoo.
Stepping up with the Baltimore Ravens, the number 22 pick in this year's NFL slow burn mock draft.
Yeah, and listen, you know, the Ravens are obviously going through a decent amount right now with Lamar Jackson. We know he's 26 years old. We know he's been an MVP. But at the same time, the last two seasons, he's played half of his games. And in December, he's 0 out of his last 10 playing football games. What good is that when you can't play down the stretch? I truly believe they like Lamar Jackson and everything like that. They don't want to fully let him go, but they also don't want to give him the big, big, big bag. So what better time to prepare on a cheap rookie deal than drafting Will Levis out of Kentucky for the Baltimore Ravens? You'd get him to be able to back up for a couple of years, even if you wanted to, if you want to go that route with Lamar. But at the same time, you know that Lamar Jackson has that injury history, like I said. So to me, Will Levis out of Kentucky, the quarterback, I know his stats weren't as great last year. They dipped off, but that wasn't all on him either. I think they try to develop this guy and get him ready just in case Lamar goes south anytime in the next couple of seasons.
All right, so Will Levis goes off the board. I want to make sure before
I didn't think he'd be here.
Yeah, and he probably won't I don't know. I feel like those first three quarterbacks are going off the board fast. And then a lot of it'll have to do with if teams trade up or trade back on how long it'll take for that next quarterback to go.
I'm wrong, but doesn't it seem like quarterbacks and mock drafts get like overhyped? Like I remember last year, remember the Titans? Remember the
Vipers got seven quarterbacks going in the first four picks. Did you see the one? Was it yesterday or the day before where he has Tennessee trading up with Arizona to draft AR-15?
Yeah, and then he had us taking like a Georgia D tackle in Indy when we need a quarterback for years. I was like, what's going on?
Exactly.
My head exploded.
If Tennessee trades up to the number three pick to grab a quarterback, that doesn't mean that Indianapolis has figured out the quarterback situation.
Exactly.
The only way around that would be to get on the horn and go, Baltimore, want to trade. Gotta do it now. Let's go. Lamar Jackson to the Colts.
I am praying, like you see.
I don't think they would do that, but
me either. But one thing, you know, that is interesting since you brought up, like, and a lot of people have Adam Schefter, his BS report that six teams are interested to try to get it to move the needle. You know, I want a choice of at least two options at quarterback at number four. So whoever trades up to number three, you have to think they're guaranteed taking a quarterback, right? Or do you think maybe Will Anderson, the best defensive player, is an option at number three for someone that trades up? Like, it's an interesting dilemma especially for the Cardinals, who might be able to get a nice package.
Yeah, I'm.
Like, would you want the Titans to trade up to three, or is it a waste this year to do that?
Depending on who's sitting there. I wouldn't want it for Will Levis. I just don't think he's top three. It's one thing if you're already sitting there at third or fourth and you draft Levis. It's another thing when you have to give up a lot of capital to get him.
Correct.
The way I look at it is this, and maybe this is just the Tennessee vibe, but let's say you have Stroud, Young, Richardson, and Levis all go in the top five. And you're Tennessee and you're sitting down there at number 11. Is it really the end of the world to go ahead and wait later in the draft, either A, with the 11th pick, because I think he would be there, or B, possibly even in the second round? What about Hendon Hooker out of Tennessee? You can let him get healthy. Because you still, regardless, no matter how you look at it, Ryan Tannehill is going to be your quarterback in 2023.
It's interesting you say that. I was close to picking Hendon Hooker for Baltimore, but the reason I didn't is because of his injury, and Lamar's already a banged-up quarterback. But I was very close, because if you look at the statistics and you take the injury out, I know you can't take injuries away, but let's say you're just looking at the statistics. In two seasons, this guy threw like 60 touchdowns and five interceptions. I know he's 25 years old, but if you let him get healthy with Ryan Tannehill playing quarterback next year, you could have your five-year quarterback on that rookie deal balling out in two seasons.
That's why I'm saying it makes a lot of sense for a team like the Titans to grab him. Now I'm with you. Baltimore, no. Because you got to have someone who can play this year at some point.
Yep.
Unless you're just absolutely going to tank.
And, you know, I listened to Charles Davis a little bit. I don't know what people's opinions are on him. I kind of like when he talks. I think he's a pretty good football mind. He's like, if you're trying to, you know, win a few more games this year and you're looking more at the short term, even though he still thinks he's a project, you probably go with Will Levis. But if you're looking for year 2, 3, 4, 5 with the 20-year-old, you take Anthony Richardson in a heartbeat. And that's kind of how he laid it out. And I kind of like that attempt.
If Tennessee's trading up to the number three spot, then I'm drafting it Richardson if he's there.
Absolutely.
Because you're giving up a lot of capital, and I'm going for the ceiling. Yep. Right? I'm going for the top ceiling. But are they going to draft another quarterback in back-to-back years who's considered a project? And that's the million-dollar question.
And I wouldn't hate that, because I mean, I know Malik Willis, you can't underutilize any draft pick, but at the end of the day, he wasn't a first round pick. So if it doesn't work out, I don't want to say big deal, but hey, you draft another one, then you have a couple of options. You can never have enough young rookie quarterbacks on these cheap deals. One of them's going to pan out. One of them probably would not.
Absolutely. All right. Vikings are on the clock. The pick is in. We're going to take a quick break, just like they do to you on ESPN.
Oh, you dirty dog, you.
We got to hit the break if we don't forget. So we're going to go ahead and hit the break. On the other side, the pick is in for the Minnesota Vikings, and I can't believe he fell this far. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
I'm bad at sex. There's a lot of thrashing and thumping, but nothing really is done. I'm like a broken dishwasher.
Armchair Quarterback Radio. We cover the world of baseball from start to finish.
Baerga is 0-3. Left center field. Grissom on the run. The team of the 90s has its world championship. A lineup of Maggie's glove into center field. The Florida Marlins have won the World Series.
Brocious fittingly with a throw, and the Yankees have done it again. Number 24. They are the world champions of baseball in 1998. Change of a lifetime for Luis Gonzalez. 2-2, bottom of the ninth, game 7 of the World Series. Bases loaded. Florida, center field. The Diamondbacks are world champions. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions. In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs.
in 2011.
Armchair.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Take the scenic route in the new Hyundai Santa Fe, the family SUV with available H-Track all-wheel drive to help you travel way off the beaten path. Find new adventures together in the Hyundai Santa Fe.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. We'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
I should have gone to law school or high school.
The Armchair Quarterbacks on YouTube Live, and like us today. Your first choice.
Stay locked in on Armchair Quarterbacks Radio. Always just moments away from the big play.
There's Cunningham. Dodges left and puts it way downfield for Fred Barnett, who has the catch, and the race is on. There are no flags. A 95-yard touchdown.
The ball just over the goal line of the Cowboys. Dorsett, single setback. Big opening for Tony Dorsett. Look out, he's got great speed. 99 yards and a half. Dorsett down the sideline. Stays in bounds.
Can you believe that?
99 and a half yard run, I think, is the longest run in the history of the league.
Here's Cunningham back to throw it and going deep, and he's got Moss, and there's a flag on the play, and Moss has caught the pass and is in the end zone anyway. Touchdown. Just throw it as far as you can.
Randy Moss is amazing. Randall Cunningham is amazing.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food.
Two buttons playing at the same time. I don't know what happened there. Welcome back! They were on two different screens. I was trying to find the first one. I was like, I don't know where that thing is. I need two more electrical devices in here so I can get a full-blown forest fire going. All right.
Let's get
NFL it. Slow burn mock draft, and the pick is in for the Minnesota Vikings. For you old heads that remember, no, they did not let the clock expire. They did actually get the pick in. That happened 2 years in a row for the Vikings. 2 years.
Unbelievable.
They got skipped over because they didn't get to pick him. So, the Vikings, to me, are missing something to take that offense to the next level. They just kicked Thielen to the curb. We all know Justin Jefferson's elite. This guy's too good. He's fallen too far for me to go past him. And I had a couple others that I had earmarked for the Vikings in this wide receiver class, which is a pretty good class. But I can't believe Quentin Johnson from TCU is still there. 6'3". Some of them have him at 6'4", 215 pounds, and can flat out fly. TCU wide receiver Quentin Johnson goes to the Minnesota Vikings. He doesn't have to change his wardrobe. He'll go from wearing purple in college to wearing purple in the National Football League.
What an easy transition.
So there you have that. So if you're just joining us, Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa. He goes to the Seattle Seahawks. That was drafted by Texas T. And then I took Bijan Robinson for the Texas Longhorns running back. Joey grabbed Will Levis, quarterback of Kentucky, to the Baltimore Ravens to replace one Lamar Jackson. And the Vikings, I took Quentin Johnson, wide receiver, TCU, guy who can. If you have to deal with Quentin Johnson and Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook and they went and they got Hockenson, right?
Good luck.
Yeah.
They might not stop a nosebleed, but they'll score 50.
and I still think Cousins has a couple of good years left.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, he was so good this year. You want them to start addressing the league's worst defense, but if Quentin Johnson's there, a great defense is a very good offense. So, you know,
the other team's got to keep up if you keep scoring. So.
You can score 40, but we're going to score 50. that's how we roll. So there you have that. All right, let's go ahead and get into some Major League Baseball as a bunch of games are about to start, get you caught up on. See, it's still dumbfounds me. I know we talked about this earlier in the week, but there's no NBA game tonight.
They missed it. They should have done one game tonight, one tomorrow.
Yeah. Or have them both. Tonight, Thursday night is a much better night for television. And then you would give everyone a day off going into the weekend. Friday night, you think anyone's watching Thunder Timberwolves Friday night? Come on.
I'll tell you what, with the weather we got over here in Chicago, people rather be on patios with a nice cold beer ski. Instead of sitting inside watching that NBA play-in.
Right. And it's going to be 7 and 9:30. You could have done both games around 7, 8 o'clock. Anyways, no basketball tonight. You do have some hockey, but most things are... I'm ready for the hockey playoffs to start now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been over the regular season for a hot minute, but the schedule's starting to the playoffs are starting to unfold, and my Islanders got in. They won last night, and they got some help, so they are in the playoffs. So now I'm intrigued.
I wouldn't know anything about it. My Blackhawks are going to get a top three pick.
Yeah,
they're way down there.
So for you to watch NHL, it's got to be the Blackhawks?
Well, I mean, I watch any playoff hockey, but one team I will be rooting for, because Patrick Kane went there, is the Rangers. I usually, you know, stay away from the New York teams. But with Patrick Kane there at 35 years old, I would like to see him succeed. I'll be watching. I love the playoffs. I think I forget his name off the top of my head, but one of the football announcer, I like what he does also. Kenny Albert, I love what he does for hockey. As well,
it looks like, yeah. All is that right? I believe that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, all the playoff teams have been figured out. In both conferences. So they do have a few games tonight, and I think they've got two tomorrow night, something like that. But they're all meaningless. And then they're going to take the weekend off, and I think it's Monday that the Stanley Cup playoffs are going to begin.
Yeah, and to me, the big question there is not, again, I'm not a hockey expert, but you just look at the standings, anybody could figure out who's going to be able to beat the Boston Bruins. I almost set a record in wins. They were 64 wins, 12 losses, 133 points. It's going to be interesting to see who will knock them off.
Now that maybe that is the only thing that's still left in the balance. Let me see who plays tonight. The Florida Panthers play the Hurricanes tonight.
That could have some seating implications because Carolina, New Jersey only travels them by a half. And in terms of the Florida Panthers, they're tied with the Islanders at the same record.
Right. The Islanders have one more point.
Yep.
And I believe last night's game with the Islanders, I think that was their last game. So the Islanders are sitting around watching. If Florida wins, they would leapfrog, and the Islanders would have to play the Bruins. If the Panthers lose, Panthers will play the Bruins, is what it looks like.
Try to stay away from the Bruins.
So there's still some intrigue, but realistically, we're waiting for Monday for it all to start. All right, let's move on to games that actually matter. Major League Baseball. There's only a handful of games tonight. It's not like your normal slate, but that's pretty typical on Thursdays. Another reason why the NBA should be playing tonight. Like, what are they doing?
Come on, man.
God bless. I don't know if they made some kind of deal with the NHL and they thought these games in the NHL would mean more, but there's nothing really to tune into the NHL tonight for, except for what we just mentioned. All right. So you got one, two, three, you got five games tonight. The best one of the bunch has got to be Brewers Padres. Padres minus 155 on the money line. Nick Martinez. Brewers still haven't named a starter. It's getting kind of late in the day not to have a starter.
I know somebody, I think, lower just went on the IL for them. They just had one of their main pitchers go down, so maybe they're scrambling a little bit.
Well, Woodruff went on the IL.
Oh, that was it. Sorry.
I thought I saw that they had an actual pitcher named. Let me go to this other site to see. Let me go to the dark web.
Yeah, because the four-letter word has undecided.
Right. Let me see what they have over here. Oh, a chomp.
Viruses now.
I think these might be Friday games. It's Thursday game. They don't have it listed, so they must have had to change their – because there's a show that I watch in the mornings that guy gives you his picks – and he goes over the starting pitchers, and he had a starting pitcher. I can't remember who it was for Milwaukee, but that must have been scratched. So, anyways, we're down to essentially four games to talk about now tonight. You got the Phillies at the Reds. Steven took that as his lock. I've already taken that personally. I like that game a lot as a lock.
Who did Steven take? I'm sorry.
Cincy,
okay. At home
versus Philly. I think that's a pretty good chance that they're going to get that double. Honestly, I think if Lodolo wore a different colored uniform, they would probably be a minus 140, minus 150. But because it's the Reds and they're playing the Phillies, I'm sure early money came in on Philadelphia. Then you got Pirates at Cardinals, Velasquez versus Montgomery. And then you have Minnesota, Joe Ryan against Brito and the Yankees. And you got Turnbull and Bassett, Tigers versus Blue Jays. So where are you going for your lock? I'll let you grab first dibs.
I appreciate that. And I'm going to take us to New York land where I'm going to take the Yankees money line at minus 130. I also have Brito and Fantasy as a spot start for myself, so I'm going to be very intrigued and locked into that game. So why not take the Yankees money line at minus 130?
I like it. I'm going to go with the Toronto Blue Jays on the run line, minus 1.5 at a minus 120 clip. I think they'll cover that spread. Turnbull's given up a lot of runs in Toronto at home. In that –
in that series, their bats are starting to wake up. I'll tell you another one that I do like. I'm not going to give it as my lock, but I do like this one a lot. St. Louis and Montgomery on the -1.5 run line at home against the Pirates and Velasquez. Velasquez gives up some runs, and I think Montgomery's going to go out there and pitch a decent game. I can see a final score of like a 6-2 type thing. I just don't see where the runs are going to come against Montgomery, as the Pirates have struggled against left-handers.
That was a nice parlay by you on Tuesday. I think it was the Padres.
Yes, sir, it was. I've hit a couple of this week. The four series that I picked, and I finally remembered who it was. It was Baltimore. So I had Baltimore, Atlanta, Arizona, and the Giants win the series. Got to late last night, and I hedged my bet and took the Dodgers on the money line. So the Dodgers ended up coming back and winning. But because I knew I was going to win X amount one way or the other, I was up 3 units off of that. So that was a nice little get. And doing pretty well with my...
I was trying to communicate with Robert. He asked about the Braves pitcher tonight. Well, no pitcher tonight.
We're off.
Yeah, I put that in the chat.
Yeah, we go tomorrow night, 8:10 first pitch. We'll have the call here. Tomorrow night it's going to be... it's going to be Morton versus Singer. And then Saturday, right now, they're saying it's going to be Elder, but Max Fried is eligible to come off the IL on Saturday.
Ooh.
Very good chance Max Fried is going to take the ball Saturday afternoon at 4:10. We'll have that game. We're doing a Friday night and a Saturday afternoon game. Saturday afternoon game will be here on WQEE. 4:10 first pitch will come on at 4:00. Get you set. The pregame show will probably come on a little earlier on Braves Country HD. You usually start that up around 3:45. We are coming up on time. What is your walk-off for the day, sir?
Yeah, a little sentimental here. Mr. Jonathan Toews has played 15 seasons for the Chicago Blackhawks over the last year, struggling. Ever since he had COVID, he's never really been able to fully recover. They said they are not bringing him back, and he's probably going to retire. This will be his last game tonight in a Chicago Blackhawk uniform on their home ice. A lot of people will be there. They're going to give him a tribute during the third period. And it's like when you lose that type of player, we lost Kane already this year. It's truly the end of an era in Chicago for this Blackhawks team. And God bless Jonathan Toews and everything he's done for us.
My walk-off for the day is we wish Doug the best of luck. He had emergency surgery. Won't get into everything because – that's his business. But he's doing well. He's just a little sore, and he's got some other things he's got to get looked at for the doc. So hopefully he's back next week. If not, we'll keep the seat warm here for him. But yeah, we just wish him well. I contend that he did that on purpose because the Braves swept his Reds. I think he intentionally hurt himself, went to the hospital, so he didn't talk about it. That's my contention, because I know he'll probably watch this here at some point. All right, keep it locked in here on the key, as we got a full slate here tonight. Tomorrow we'll be back 3 to 5. We go live, and then, of course, we're doing Friday night's game. We're doing Saturday afternoon's game this weekend, and we always have it up on the screen as we're coming and going in case people can't remember when we're on. For all the guys and gals behind Armchair Quarterback Radio, Braves Country HD, have a great day. Oh, and Tones, great job last night if you were watching. All right, keep it locked in here. We shall see ya.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well,
Dallas Blue Fire. We'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.